Praise God. So watch out for those things. Then don't smother a guy. Don't follow up a guy. If a guy is not following you up, give him space. Men by nature don't like things that are cheap. If you are the one chasing him, then he'll be posing. If you go away, he can even turn and chase you. But don't chase him. Don't start calling him, say, yeah, you've not called me since. Yeah, you've not. No. Give him space. It might be difficult for you, but give him space. Being cheap and chasing him doesn't mean he will like you. He can use you, but he won't like you. Men are not that easy to manipulate, to like. If they don't like you, if you like some assaults, no hand touch. They will take advantage of you and still not marry you. Somebody getting this? If a man likes you, he will make it clear. Any guy telling you, I love you, I'm dating you, but don't tell anybody, is a scam. He doesn't like you. Or he's running about 3 or 4 magas at the same time. When a guy is serious about you, he wants to show you off, not hide you. If he's hiding you, you are the side chick. This emotional intelligence. Most very educated girls don't know this thing. They have master's degree in biology and in economics. They have 0 degree in relationship. That's what I'm teaching you. If a guy is telling you don't tell anybody, that's number one proof that is a scam. You are a side chick. They don't hide queens. They don't hide queens. He's only talking to you near the toilet. So don't tell anybody. See me near the toilet. Our usual spot. It's a lie of the devil. I get what I'm saying? He's keeping you in the usual spot because there are many other people in the other spot. He doesn't want people to jam yourself. This is emotional intelligence that guys won't tell you, but I'm telling you, become your pastor. If he's saying don't tell anybody, then you are not his wife. If he loves you, he's going to show you off. He's going to want everybody to meet you. He's going to introduce you to everybody. If he's hiding you, there are many of you. Many have gone. All this is emotional intelligence I'm giving you. If a guy is saying, I'm busy. Why haven't you called? I've not heard from you since. He says, I'm busy. That's code language. Forget out of here. That's code language for I don't have your time. I'm not interested. Listen, girls. If a guy is telling you, I'm busy, he's saying, I'm not interested. Now, the right reaction from you is not to cry. The right reaction from you is not to say, you want to dump me. You after using me. First place, don't allow anybody to use you until they marry you. Don't sleep with anybody. Don't give money. Don't give anything. But let's assume your relationship has already gone far, or whatever it is you were doing had gone far. If the guy is forming, I'm busy, don't cry. Don't pull your wig and sit on the ground and say, you want to finish me? When you do that, you become more disgusting to the guy. It's important to maintain your dignity that is remaining. It's important. It's important to maintain it. Most guys don't know. Because in the world of women, begging and crying helps. In the world of men, begging and crying shames. Doesn't help. It's shameful. Men don't cry. So you're begging and crying. She's saying, hey, what kind of dog girl be this? He should not have the image of you begging and crying in his mind. That's not the image you want to put in his mind. So if he's something busy, he's telling you, I'm not interested. At that time, you two exit with dignity. It's important you do so for your generation, for your coming generation. So if you call a guy, I'm busy. Because the truth is that he's just saying he's not interested. Nobody is that busy. Yes, if you know what I'm doing for you, because guys are not happy I'm telling you this thing. But I'm telling you, nobody in this whole world is that busy. Clinton, as the president of United States of America, he still had babe. This your boo is not even president of a company. He cannot be that busy. Nobody is that busy in this world. He's just not interested. So when he's forming busy, so that's fine. For me too, I'm even busy. We're all busy. It's a national business now. We're helping Buhari to bring change now. We're all busy. I understand that. Live with dignity. With dignity. Nobody says, oh, come in now, please. Hey, come in. Men don't like begging. Somebody says, oh, I'm busy. Oh, I understand. I'm busy also. I just start to check up on you. I'm just busy. Right fast as I'm calling you now, I'm walking. We are walking. It's a national walk going on now to help the nation. Very busy. And never call him again. Your hand will be scratching you. Anytime your hand is scratching you to call him, call me. Call your pastor. Call a leader that will speak sense to your head. That will give sound counsel to your head. Because your hand will be scratching you. Don't call him. The last thing a guy hates is for you to chase him when he's not interested. You can imagine a hunter that antelope is chasing. You say, God forbid, my enemies have come. Don't lose your dignity. Are you getting this, guys? Emotional intelligence. Please, when you're in a church setting like this, and a guy is interested in you, and he's making advances, he's saying things, please ask him to define what he means. Alright? You are not the one that we initiated, but if he's giving words, all those words that are confusing. You see, the reason why men talk like that, because men are not emotionally developed. Men don't know that there are things you don't say to women. They don't understand that. So a man can meet a woman and say, in short, you are the kind of girl I would like to spend my life with. Listen, to a woman, that's a serious commitment. To a man, it's just gist. You see problem now. Because he saw you are tall. He would have loved to spend his life with a tall girl. It doesn't mean he has said it's you. But to women believe you don't say that to everybody. We do. You see problem now? So he has said it to 10 women. One was tall. That's why he wants to spend the rest of her life. The other one is yellow. Yellow. That's why he wants to spend the rest of her life. The other one can cook. So he wants to spend the rest of her life with her. Left to him, if people can come together and form union and marry all of you, it will be beneficial. So you see, when a man is saying that, don't, women, emotional intelligence, never assume. Until a man say, I want to marry you, any other thing he's saying, he can wriggle his way out of it. He said, but I thought you said, I'm the kind of person you want to spend your life with. I said, yes. I said, you are the kind. I didn't say you are the one. You see, so don't assume. When he's saying things that are confusing you, make him commit. Ask him, what exactly are you saying? I don't understand these things you are saying. Until he makes it clear. If he doesn't make it clear, forget. And if he's making this clear, if you're in a good church setting like this, tell him to talk to a pastor. Or tell him that you want to talk to a pastor about it. If he's a scammer, he will run. Some of those guys that are toasting you, their file is on our table. 3 girls have come to report him. We are waiting for him. He will never come. Tell him, let's go and meet pastor. Let's go and tell pastor about us. And he will say, no, let's meet in our usual spot. Near the toilet. Tell him, let's go and meet. You want to marry? Fine. Let's go and meet pastor. Because his file is on my table. 3 girls are waiting for him. that he has promised marriage, he has run away. Accountability. Are you getting this? Some girls are falling prey like that. They come to a church. You see fine boy, single fine boy, has car, has work, and is single, and is 30-something. And you think you are the one he has been waiting for. You think that car has been vacant before you come. Emotional intelligence. He's a serial dater. You see, fine boy, 30 something, has car. You tread very carefully. So some girls do that. They come to a church. One boy just tells them. They don't report to any pastor. They don't report to any leader. They just follow the boy. I'm walking up and down. Next thing, he will use you, sleep with you, and dump you and continue. He's a, those smallest guys are serial daters. A church is a hospital. A church is not for perfect people. A church attracts more sick people than well people. A church is a hospital. And in the hospital, some people are responding to treatment and some are not. So, talking to a pastor, talking to a leader, or people that are of high authority in the church, will help you for your own good. You, when you're in the hospital, the best person to ask about the patients are the chief medical officer. Say, sir, one of your patients is interested in you. In Ward B? What do you say, sir? I'll bring my glass down. I say, which of my patients? You know, all doctors, the old one, they must have glass. Which of my patients? You not mention his name. I not check. You say? He say he's interested in marriage. I say, my daughter, where is your shoe? Hold it in your hand. Where your bag? Hold her well. Be running. Run to your village. Don't worry about your job. I will tell them you have resigned. You're running. Serial data. And listen, they are in every good church. Oh. I'm telling you, they are present in every. You see them of very mature age, job, car, no wife, no confirmed babe. You can't identify them with any girl. So who is that girl? She's just my friend. Boy, they carry and go house every day. And she's your friend. Clap for yourself. Uber driver that you are, huh? Clap for yourself. Uber that you is. Are you getting this, guys? Most of those people are serial daters. They are not planning to marry. They are looking for who to sleep with. If he's interested, tell him to take you to pastor. He knows he can't come. There are many people like that. So my daughter said, pastor, this brother, I said, tell him to bring you to me. I'm waiting. They never come. Because their case file is open on my desk. They will never come. Praise God. Lastly, I have to close. Number 7. By the way, for emotional intelligence, please be buying messages. Buy CDs. All this is I'm teaching now. Buy today's CD. I have any topic you want to think about. I have them. Buy those CDs. Buy books. Develop your own emotional intelligence. Some people say it's too far to go for seminar. It's too far, but it's not far for you to go and see boy in Ikorodu. The intelligence is more important than the boy. Buy messages. Go for seminars like this. That will sharpen your knowledge. Number 7. Why good girls marry wrong is that today, good girls sometimes neglect the place of prayer. Nowadays, we live in a generation where people take prayer as a thing of play. In fact, it's just cliche. Let's pray about it. For many people, it's just a joke. It's just cliche. It's just spiritual lingo. It's nothing serious. My brother, at the end of the day, after all said and done, it's only God that knows the kind of person you should marry. God is the best counselor you can have. at the end of the day. All of us just try. God is the ultimate. Sometimes everything about the person might look good, but God will just say, don't try it. Sometimes everything about the person might look bad, and God will say, go ahead with it. This guy is going to go, he's going to walk, he's going to change. So please take time to pray. And let me advise you, don't wait till the time of marriage to become a prayer warrior. By nature, be a prayerful person. Be a person that seeks the guidance of God. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. It says, and lean not on your own understanding. It says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. So don't, it's not only marriage. Make it a part of your life to pray for guidance, to pray for God to lead you about your school, your job, your course, your career, different things like that. So that when it comes to marriage, you'll be used to being guided. Not that you've never prayed before. You've never sought God's face about anything before. Only when it comes to marriage, you say, oh God, tell me, is it John or James that should marry? Doesn't work like that. Good girls marry wrong because nowadays we've neglected the place of prayer. People don't take prayer serious anymore. People don't take God serious anymore. They just want to use God. They don't want to know God. God rewards those that diligently seek him, not those that diligently use him. He's a rewarder of them that what? Seek him. Hallelujah.
In building relationships that last, it begins with improving one's self-esteem, looking beyond face value, and choosing the right partner. You too can have the marriage of your dreams.
Yeah, praise God.
Yep.
Pastor, the question I want to ask from the inception, you made mention about Genesis. So the question I want to ask here is, God said that the woman should be an help meet for the man.
Yes.
And we are seeing situations whereby the ladies keep saying, even after marriage, they keep saying that after all they suffer with the man in marriage or outside marriage. So the question I want to ask here is, are women meant to suffer with the man? And what is the work of the woman as an help meet for the man?
It's not that they have to suffer, but if suffering is what is required, they should cooperate. My wife, in quotes, suffered with me too now. So, if she loves the guy, she should be willing to support the guy and go through whatever he's going through. So, it's not compulsory he must be suffering, but in some cases, suffering is required. For instance, a woman that is living with her parents in a 5-bedroom duplex, if she has to move with you to a 1-room, that's suffering for her. So, but if you love the guy, it should not be a problem. Alright, thank you. Yes, go ahead.
Is it right for a girl to go out with a man that doesn't have something tangible doing, but also has a laundry and dry cleaning business that only works when there is light? And when the girl keeps on talking to the guy concerning him going to get something good doing,
yes,
he gets angry and says the girl is insulting him.
Okay. You told us he doesn't have something doing. He has something doing.
Tangible.
It's tangible. Laundry is not tangible. You don't wash clothes before. It's very tangible, my sister. Praise God. It's just that he's not doing it diligently. Alright? So you have two options. You have two options. He has already shown you signs that he's not going to work hard. So can you live with that? If you can't live with that kind of laziness, then don't marry him. He has already shown you signs that he's not the pushing type. There are some other ladies that will gladly marry him. Maybe the lady is a hard worker. She will buy him gin for the laundry to be working, whether it's light or no light, and employ staff for him to be working when he's sleeping and marry him like that. But I don't advise you to marry a guy like that. He has already shown you signs that he's not ready to press and push to be better. Alright? So, that's a bad sign.
Supposing that a man got up to 38 or 39 years before,
yes,
he got married as a case of a baby challenges or what?
Yes.
Then, because when we are saying something, he said about 30 years. So, then, myself, I begin to think within me.
Yes. One house, let him talk. Go on, go on.
I begin to think within me that, you know, some men want to get themselves composed before getting into marriage.
Yes.
Because, you know, when getting into marriage, if you don't plan well, automatically you might bound to... So, sometimes destiny might warrant that maybe the man is planning himself before he could get married. So,
yes.
Pastor, then what did the person do?
Okay. Good question. Praise God. I was specifically talking about people that already have some work. Maybe they might not be rich, but they have work they're doing. But they are just rigmaroling, waiting for perfect conditions. All right? You see, you won't gain something and go and lose another thing. If you are waiting to be perfectly composed, to be very comfortable financially, and you're already about 40, you are still going to cause problem because there's the gap between you and your children are going to be far, no matter how rich you are. So that's already a problem. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. So if you are comfortable to the point that you can at least do basic things like eat, you can at least basic small money, you are making small money, even might not be big. By the time you and a woman come together and cooperate, you should be able to start your life. And while you are together, two are better than one. The Bible says he that finds a wife obtains favor. When you marry, in fact, my life improved greatly when I got married. If I was waiting to marry first, I probably would not have moved this fast. Getting married even made me succeed faster. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. So don't wait till, you know, you have everything comfortable. You are wasting time and you can't buy time back when you have wasted it. You can't redeem that time. So once you can make simple money, you are doing something, please marry. You and the woman can be working the remaining out. I get what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But if it's a case where you don't have a choice, maybe you are 38, you don't have work. There's nothing you can do. You go and find work. You can't be looking for a wife. Uh-huh.
Praise the Lord. Please, Pastor, if a man is married and has children here in Nigeria,
yes,
and then he goes abroad,
yes,
and marries another woman,
yes,
in the name of paper and all of that,
yes,
please, what should wife here do? Thank you.
Honestly, those are very serious issues. Is she in support of the marrying there? Is she in support of it? Sometimes when women plan here with their husband, no, they are aware of the plan. So if she's aware of the plan, there's nothing me I can do about it. It's their plan. If she's not aware of the plan, then what does she want to do? The guy is married to somebody else there, she has legal grounds to end the marriage she's in. But you see, I need to know what she wants to do. What does she want to do? If she wants to walk out, she has scriptural ground and legal grounds to walk out and go on her own. She has. You know, so I don't know what she wants to do. If she wants to claim she's still waiting for him, I can't force her to go. You see, so that's my own opinion. Pastor, please, can you marry a man that has not been paid for over 5 months now? And even forced a date for... Okay. One house now. Let me finish. Oh. The story hasn't finished. Can you marry a man that has not been paid for over 5 months now and has even fixed a date for the wedding but has no money in his account, but he keeps on telling you that he trusts God and believes God will make a way? Alright. In this case, what he should do with his trust is not to fix date. What he should do with his trust is to either get another job or get his salary to come out. So it's not a bad thing altogether. Work with him if you like him, but he should use his faith first to either get another job or start a business or do something. But he must be earning money. Please don't marry based on we are waiting that he will pay me. Don't marry. He's they are not paying him. It's not his fault. But he's sitting there doing nothing. That one is his fault. I don't know if you understand that. So don't fight him yet. Try and cancel him. That's why I talk about mentoring. If there's somebody else wiser than both of you, they can sit down and tell him that, my brother, look, help yourself.
look for another job or do something else to earn money. All right? So he has to do something.
My question is like this. I see there are many guys these days who want to marry a God-fearing woman.
Yes.
Isn't there a need for a guy to consider what it would take for him to be the kind of man a God-fearing woman would want to marry?
Of course there is. All right? Hope you understand her comment. She's saying the guys too that are always looking for God-fearing women, basically they should become the kind of man that God-fearing women like. Very apt. Very apt. So very correct. Very, very correct. I didn't hear you. Was it your voice?
I did contract marriage abroad.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. Do I have to beg God for forgiveness about that? Oh.
Okay. Are you married now?
Yeah, I'm about to get married now.
The real one?
Yeah. But I didn't sleep with her. The one abroad.
No, okay, the one abroad, you didn't sleep with her.
No sexual intercourse, nothing.
Okay, just purely contract.
Take money, give me paper, that's all.
Okay. Okay. Thank you for your honesty. Like you know, I'm sure you two know that is wrong, but if you have already done that, it's in your past. God is not going to hold it against you. Like you said, settle, make your peace with God and move on. Have you broken that marriage now? It's already broken. So make your peace with God and go on. What you did was wrong, but none of us here can hold you for your past, because all of us do have a past. We're all here by the mercies of God. All of us. So, what you did was 100% wrong. So just make peace with God and move on. God is not going to hold that against you. He will forgive you. That's what he does.
In building relationships that last, it begins with improving one's self-esteem. Looking beyond face value. And choosing the right partner. You too can have the marriage of your dreams.
I believe your relationships have been strengthened by the message you just watched. I want to give you a chance to enter the most important relationship of your life, and that is the relationship with Jesus Christ. If you are watching me right now and you are not born again, I want to pray with you. Just close your eyes and say after me, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I accept you today as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me my sin. Wash me with your blood. I receive the grace to serve you all the days of my life. Thank you, Father, for I am born again. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. If you prayed that prayer with me, you are now born again. There are numbers on the screen. Please call the numbers. Someone will be willing to speak with you. God bless you.